Check out my newly renamed podcast, Democracy on Fire with Kay Brown, where we'll discuss the ongoing conflict with Iran and its implications for our economy, security, and upcoming elections. Hope to see you there. Democracy on Fire on United America Network.
Welcome to Hot Spots on the United America Network. From the shifting landscapes of politics and culture to the urgent challenges facing our planet and our communities, this is where the conversations that matter most come alive. With her experience as a journalist, legislator, and activist, Kay Brown brings sharp insight, uplifting perspective, and unflinching courage to the issues shaping our future. Get ready for candid conversations, bold ideas, and the pushback our times demand. Now, here's Kay.
Hello, and welcome to Hotspots. I'm so glad you're joining us. In today's episode, we'll talk about being hungry and unhoused and the impacts of social safety net dismantling in our communities and our country. We'll look at the latest developments with CalFresh and SNAP payments, food insecurity, people living on the streets, and examine some of the things people are working on to address these problems. My guest today is John Thomas, a security officer in the Coachella Valley who spends much of his free time making sure his unhoused neighbors are fed, seen, and treated with dignity. Through his work with community meal programs that serve thousands of breakfasts and lunches each year, John has helped provide not just food, but a safer and more welcoming space for some of the most vulnerable people in the region. In this conversation, John will share what he's learned from standing at the intersection of safety and compassion, working security while also serving meals, offering a listening ear, and building relationships with people who are often overlooked. We'll talk about what it looks like to really show up for your community, the realities facing the unhoused in our area, and how one person's commitment to service can ripple out much further than they even expected. So I hope you'll stay with us. This is a powerful look at everyday volunteerism, lived values, and the kind of neighbor we all wish we had. Before we get into what's going on here at home, I want to just briefly highlight what's happening this weekend internationally in South Africa, which is hosting the G20 summit of the world's largest economies. Ahead of that summit, South African President Cyril Ramaphosa asked a committee of experts to work on a report on the state of economic inequality around the world, and its findings were grim. A quarter of humanity, and that's some 2.3 billion people, face moderate or severe food insecurity. And that's up substantially from 2019, when there was 335 million people in that category. The gaps in wealth have accelerated dramatically over the past few decades, and 90% of the world's population live in societies where there's high economic inequality. So this panel is putting forth proposing a new international panel on inequality that would function similarly to the UN's International Panel on Climate Change, where top scientists and leaders put out periodic reports on the state of the world. And so this new initiative on inequality is being unveiled at the G20. And it's got a lot of support, but unfortunately, the United States, one of the most powerful and rich countries, is not even participating. Trump has once again given up our leadership role on the world stage. And this is the first time in the history of the G20 that the United States has not been represented. Trump's excuse is he doesn't like South Africa. In a social media post, he said it was a disgrace that they were the hosts and repeated false allegations about the treatment of white Afrikaners in South Africa. we have a lot of problems here in our own country in the United States. Unfortunately, 1 in 7 people here in the United States are food insecure. That's millions. And it's a problem in our country generally, as well as here in our communities in Southern California, as well as across the country. There's a lot of reasons for this growth in food insecurity. We've got rising inflation. We've got Trump's tariffs driving up the price of just about everything. And then we had the federal cuts in the SNAP benefits that affected millions of people for weeks who couldn't get their benefits. And we also had the shutdown, which put more than 1 million federal workers without paychecks during that shutdown. As well as federal contractors, there were more than 5 million federal contractors affected, and many of them will not get back pay for that time. And that's not to even mention the immigration raids, which have impacted many people's ability to work. So that's the situation we're in, with the religious nationalists pushing their agenda of chaos and cruelty, leaving a lot of people on the edge, experiencing economic insecurity, and the anxiety that goes with that, having to make those difficult choices about trade-offs and seeking out community support for survival. So I'm really pleased to have John Thomas here with me today to discuss the state of things. He and I have gotten to know each other through the United Methodist Church of Palm Springs, where we both attend and volunteer. And thanks for being here, John. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for inviting me, Kay.
Tell me how you got interested in this work of helping people.
Locally, I became involved with helping to provide a solution to food insecurity facing the residents of Palm Springs. Because of my involvement with United Methodist Church of Palm Springs, and more specifically, their newly formed nonprofit named The Shared Plate, I cannot help but feel overwhelming empathy, compassion, and love for our neighbors. And as we all know, everyone has been familiar with the feeling of an empty tummy, or a paycheck that doesn't go far enough, or having to make sacrifices to pay medical bills over putting food on the table, or vice versa, utility bills, that eternal struggle because our dollars don't go far enough. I became involved with The Shared Plate, which is graciously hosted on site at the United Methodist Church of Palm Springs at 1555 East Alejo Road, because I wanted to give back, and I started by serving coffee to our neighbors who come from all walks of life. And that responsibility grew into serving food and distributing clothing free of charge and hygiene items, and performing small maintenance tasks, and doing simple things or not so simple things, such as doing the dishes or cleaning the floors or repairing chairs. And it's really been an absolute priceless treasure to my life to get outside of my own head and my own struggle and support the beautiful, diverse environment of residents here in Palm Springs.
How big a problem is food insecurity here in our area? Are the charities and the churches filling the gap? Is there still need for more? Are people being adequately served, or is there still people unserved?
There continues to be an unfulfilled gap to address starvation and food insecurity in Coachella Valley. 1 in 7 individuals does face food insecurity. And that means that it not only affects single parents, it affects their children. And it affects individuals with a family size of 1. Maybe they want to start a family in the future. The complication, and I hope I'm not jumping ahead here, the complication with the delay of federal benefits via supplemental nutrition program, that put a lot of stress on families to consistently put food on the table or to prepare for next week's meals. As we know, due to a federal court action, the USDA did release SNAP funding, although quite late, to the recipients in the state of California and I believe nationwide. And we may be facing a similar repeat of the food insecurity crisis coming in January with an upcoming shutdown.
I was just looking that up today, and it looks like they funded SNAP through September. It was one of those carve-outs that they did to at least fund that one program, even though most of the government will be up for funding again, and we will be facing the possibility of a shutdown soon, which is, I'm sure, very distressing to the federal workers and the people that are having to put up with all the chaos of the stopping and the starting and whatnot. But I think it will be next September before SNAP runs out again. But we have this unfavorable administration, which is throwing its weight around in how it wants the program to be administered and making demands of the states and just generally causing chaos in the delivery of the program.
That is certainly a blessing to have the program funded with a guarantee to be funded through September. I know that's going to alleviate some of the stress on a lot of families' dinner tables, to say the least, as well as those people who are not blessed with a stable home and they purchase their meals from just ready-to-eat items at grocery stores or even at some fast food outlets like Del Taco's, a popular one, or McDonald's. I know a lot of my clients, a lot of my guests, don't have the ability to refrigerate their food or to have access consistently to a kitchen to prepare home-cooked meals. So they eat a lot of their meals out of a paper bag.
There are obviously a lot of people in our community that don't have stable housing. What's being done in our area to try to expand the affordable housing that's available?
That's a great question. There are a number of small and medium-sized projects and one large ongoing project that is intended to assist with alleviating the unhoused crisis that we're facing in Palm Springs and across the Coachella Valley and more broadly across the state of California. I don't know if you're aware of this, but if we look at nationally, the entire unhoused population of the United States, 10% of the unhoused population is located within the state of California. 10%. So of all of the states, 10% is represented in the state of California. And along those lines, there seems to never be enough outreach to permanently solve the unhoused major challenges that we're facing. One major program is Martha's Village, which has secured the contract for the Navigation Center in North Palm Springs. And they take in a number of clients for an overnight stay, which means you have access to a bed for an evening. And they have a number of what they refer to as pods, which are for a select amount of clients because it is limited to a certain amount of these converted, I think it's about the size of a railway car, I believe. And that's for a longer term with many stipulations and requirements to be met. The housing supply is inadequate for Southern California. And there have been a number of proposed affordable housing projects that some have broken ground and some are attempting to be moved into a future construction. One of them is, of course, the affordable housing programs constructed as part of DAP Health. Another one, as you may know, was the Monarch development in North Palm Springs. And another one is the Allo that just completed on Stevens Road. And there may be in the future, I believe that is the case, there will be an 80-unit low-cost community through a partnership with the United Methodist Church that will be constructed in the future on the land that's owned by the United Methodist Church. And that will consist of 80 units of affordable housing that are designated for the 55 and up individual. And most of those units will be single bedroom. Some will be studios, and there'll be a limited number of two bedroom units. They each, from what I understand, come with a parking space. And I believe they will be, like I said, affordable housing.
That's a really positive development. It's good that there are things being done, but it's very slow. And in the meantime, we have people in need. What do you think is the most or the significant way that people can help? What do you recommend for people who want to do something to help our neighbors in need of food and housing and other essentials? How can people help?
Because each charitable and nonprofit organization has their own leadership teams and their own relationships with the regional food banks, such as Find It Food Bank, one of the most powerful ways is to, when we make our donations, to donate them to the charitable organizations so they can stretch every dollar that we donate into $3 or $4 because of the pricing advantage that is able to be achieved when using Find It Food Bank as a food supplier. The other thing is, one of the most tangible needs for our unhoused population is shoes and clothing and coats for the wintertime. When a person is unhoused, oftentimes their primary mode of transportation is their feet. And in an inhospitable desert environment that can be very unfriendly to bare feet, if somebody steals your shoes or your shoes get worn out, or even trying to cope with the heat of the summer sun or the cold of the winter chill. Oftentimes, many individuals are lacking shoes and jeans and a quality outerwear. And I think that makes one of the biggest differences, along with being more vocal to our local government on supporting additional affordable housing projects and affordable housing action in assistance of our community.
Thank you for being here and sharing your experiences. And I understand that at one point in your life, you experienced houselessness yourself. And I'm sure that affects how you're able to relate to people who are in that situation. And there's many reasons, obviously, that this unfortunate situation befalls people, but it's not always what people might assume. There's a lot of reasons that put people in that condition. And I think as we head into the Thanksgiving weekend, it's really important that we remember that those of us who have enough, not everyone does, and that our society as a whole is much better off when everyone is cared for and everyone has enough to eat and a place to live. And that's something that we can collectively work on. It's a choice that we make as a society, as how we treat people and where we put our money and our resources. And Thanksgiving is a good time to reflect on that and encourage people to do what they can to help address this growing need. Food instability, and particularly for children, is very significant and can be devastating. So we're going to wrap it up here. And thanks again for being with me, John.
Thank you for inviting me, and thank you for allowing me to provide any insight that might be useful to your team or to your viewers. Thank you.
Thank you. So take care, stay strong, keep resisting. I hope you'll share our program with your friends and family and hit and subscribe wherever you listen.
You've been listening to Hotspots with Kay Brown, where tough issues meet thoughtful conversation. Stay engaged, stay inspired, and join us again as we spotlight the struggles, solutions, and stories that fuel resilience and change. Until next time, keep your fire burning. Hotspots is a production of the United America Network and is available on most major podcast platforms, as well as from UnitedAmericaNetwork.com. This is what democracy sounds and looks like.
If you've had enough and want to wake up our recalcitrant Congress, join me on Democracy on Fire with Kay Brown for the top 23 reasons we need regime change now. Hope to see you there, Democracy on Fire on United America Network.